You say good evening, and most of the time they just look at you. But I appreciate you all saying good evening back. It's good to be here tonight. Thankful that the Lord has allowed this time, this opportunity, for us to come and to gather one more time in His house. This is another one of His services. It's not my service. It's not yours. It's His service. And whatever it is that the Lord asks us to do, let's just be found doing it. No matter how big or how small. With us, many times we make things big. But with Him, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I know that you all, as Brother Miller already said, I know that y'all already feel sorry for me because Don Curtis is my pastor. And that's the general consensus that we get everywhere we go. They chuckle. But it is good to be here. I'm a member of Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church. When I was a little boy, grew up in a town in Somerset, Kentucky. At the end of my road, if you looked out my front door, at the end of the road, there was a white house. That white house is where my babysitter kept several children. My babysitter's name was Flo Ogden. She was, like Zacchaeus, she was very short in stature. But she had a red bouffant that went straight up on top of her head. And this little woman loved us children. She loved us so much that she was the very first one to tell me about the Lord. It wasn't my dad, wasn't my mom. It was my little old babysitter. And she would tell us about Jesus. And I can remember every single day, she'd say, "Matthew, you must be saved." She had a little tree out there in her front yard. I remember holding on to that tree going round and round, and every time I'd come around, she's sitting on the front porch, she'd say, "Matthew, you've got to be saved." And you talk about a little boy that got tired, sick and tired of a woman with a red bouffant. And she would tell us, she'd say, "Now, I don't know when this day is coming, but Matthew, there's coming a day when God's going to knock on your heart and He's going to let you know that you're separated." I love that little woman. We moved away to a farm in the northern part of the county. We slept upstairs, my brother and I. We were in bunk beds. He was in the top and I was in the bottom. Just as an old farmhouse is, we had a set of wooden steps. Going up those steps, I was just a regular little old boy. At night, I laid down in my bed. And here come this knock. God let me know that I was separated from Him, that I was old enough, I was accountable for my very own sins, and that I was lost, and I was undone, and I was hell bound. I got scared and I called for my dad. My dad came up the steps and I said, "Dan," I said, "I'm scared." I said, "If I'm gonna die right now, I'll go to hell." And he gave me some very, very bad advice. I made it the next day. That night I laid down in my bed again. Oh, and here it come again. I called for my dad again. Somehow or another, I pushed it away until I was 24 years old. From that very first day in that bed that had, I can remember the color of the sheets, red, white, and blue striped. From that very day until I was 24 years old, I was at Lancaster Baptist Church. I was on the second pew for 2 weeks. He had been dealing with me, and I had been blaming it on everything else. Too many cigarettes, not enough cigarettes. Eating too much, not eating enough. My babysitter had told me, just as it was true then and it's true today, start praying. Start praying right then. That Sunday morning, the preacher asked if anyone needed to come pray for their soul. I have no idea what he preached on. But I had gotten as far as I could go myself. I could go absolutely no farther. And I remember I gave up, and I literally had given up. Lord God, you're going to have to save my soul. And somewhere in that footstep, there's a span of time that I just can't tell you everything about. But I tell you what I can tell you this evening, that there was a pain, and there was a burden, and there was that feeling of being lost, and that fear of going to hell that was wiped away. It was gone. And there was a love and a joy that I can't tell you everything about. But I know who put it there. And he let me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he saved my soul that quick. That quick. Boy, it's important. It is very, very important that we tell what the Lord has done for us. Some might call her insignificant, but to me, she's the one that brought me the gospel. My little old babysitter. We've got to tell the world what he's done for us. Because if not, they're going to be lost in their sins and they'll be hell bound. And I can promise you this, the world's not going to tell them the truth. The world's not going to tell them the truth. Our testimony is of great importance. Great importance to us because we have a time and a place that we can go back to where His blood was applied unto us. But it's also important to these young children. I'm thankful for these young children that are in the house tonight. They need to know that there's a difference. They need to know. If He impresses upon us to give our testimony, well, we need to be found doing that. 13 years ago, I don't know if it was in March or if it was in April, but it was on a Saturday, somewhere between 11 and 12:30. I was in my garage, cleaning out my garage. I had a drink cooler over on the left-hand side that I kept full of cattle medicine. I was bent over, sweeping. And there was an audible voice, not here, but here, that said, "Preach my word." I didn't say, "Well, I would rather not do that." I didn't say, "We'll find somebody else." I said, "You're not about to make me do that." "Oh, yeah, he is." I ran from my call for 8 years. Again, he gave that rope. big pull that can only come from Him. And I surrendered. I surrendered unto the call. But I asked Him, and I still continue to this day ask Him, I cannot do this upon my own. But Lord, You are going to have to keep me busy. My God always keeps His end of the bargain. He always keeps His end of the deal. And man, He has allowed me to preach in places that can only come from Him. And I'm thankful. Thankful for that. Anything else on anyone's heart? Anything need to be said or done? If you've got your Bibles, I need to read one verse of Scripture. Out of Colossians in the very first chapter. This is Paul's writing here in the first chapter, in the 10th verse, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When Brother Miller called to ask me the times that I had open to come and preach, boy, there was a thought that came unto me just that quick. And for those that have been called to preach, my preacher brethren in the house, boy, that's good. That is good. My thought tonight is pleasing the Lord. If you look up the definition, boy, it's very, very simple. It's to satisfy. To satisfy the Lord. To satisfy Him, to please Him in all things that we do. In all things that we say, in all things that we think. And to please Him in all of our actions. Now for those in the house that are married, well, we strive to please our mates, don't we? For the children in the house, us as parents, we strive to please them. And I dare say that there's no one in the house, and this is directed at me, that has no problem in pleasing ourselves. Whatever it is, it seems that we won't, we just get. I've said it many, many times that everything is at our fingertips now. These young children are faced with things that you and I were not faced with when we were that age. But us as God's children, from the time that we wake up until the time that we go to bed, and those times that we're sound asleep, and He comes and He wakes us up, we are to be about pleasing Him and to satisfy Him in every accord. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. The substance of things not seen. So when our faith is weak, and when our faith is tried, and when it's tested, and we're not holding upon Him for everything that we need, were not pleasing him at all. When we have pity parties, when we say, woe is me, that's not pleasing unto him. That's not pleasing unto God, the one that created you and I. And it's not pleasing unto him, the one that saved our soul. It's not pleasing to him. And there's many times when Matthew Clark is not pleasing unto the Lord. And he comes by and he gets your attention and says, what are you doing? Now you know that that's not right. And you're my child. And I am your father. And so this whipping, I do believe that it hurts him to whip us. But we're not pleasing unto him. But whenever we ask for forgiveness for whatever it is that we've done, whenever we ask for guidance in a problem, and we all have problems, when we ask for leadership, and he makes it so crystal clear that that is what he wants, and we don't put up a fuss, we don't kick at the pricks, we don't make excuses, we just do that with what God wants us to do, that pleases him. And when we're pleasing him, he is pouring out blessings upon each and every one of us. And I don't know, there's not anything to one of his children, to one of his own, that's anything better than a blessing from God. Boy, they're wonderful. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the fame. And you can have all the riches. But those blessings from God on high, oh, they're good. They are good. There's an account, a very, very familiar account in the Bible, that's over in the book of Genesis, that there was a man. Man had two names. One of them was Abram, one of them was Abraham. And I do believe that he pleased the Lord many, many times. In the 22nd chapter says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now God just told Abraham to take his son Isaac, that he loved very, very much, and he said, you are going to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham didn't kick. He didn't make excuses. He didn't do like I do, say, no, God, you're wrong. God's never wrong. Never wrong. And it says that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Abraham was doing just exactly what God had asked him to do. Now, I don't know that if I would have been in Abraham's shoes with my son right here that I could have done it. I don't know that I could have. But I love my son oh so much. I love both of my children. But he told him, he said, your son Isaac is going to be a sacrifice. And I believe that when Abraham, when he didn't quarrel, when he didn't ask any questions, that it pleased God. And Abraham did just exactly what God told him to do, no more and no less. And he made that altar. And as he had the knife getting ready to take his son, God said, well, wait. Stop. Everything pleased the Lord. We are to be more like that. We are to be more like that in the church. We are to be more like that in our homes. We ought to be more like that outside of these walls. He will make a way for everything. It's not up to us to wonder why. My old flesh, I just said, now wait just a minute. That's my son. No, really he belongs to God. He's just given him to me, an angel, to take care of for a little while and to instruct him and to raise him in the way that he's asked. And when us as parents and grandparents, when we bring our children and our grandchildren unto the house, unto the Lord's house, to hear the truth, that pleases the Lord. It pleases Him. When the church is all of one mind and one accord, and there's a brotherly and a Christian love in the church, and that one member feels for another member, and one brother cries for another brother, that pleases the Lord. And we've got to have more of it. When there's squabbling, when there's bickering, when there's a big I and a little you, that doesn't please the Lord. That does not please the Lord. Now, what I do for a living is I'm a pharmaceutical rep for cattle. I sell cattle medicine. And I have lots of time to drive. Lots of times I'm on my phone talking to my customers. But God has given each and every one of us something that is enmity against God. And that's this mind. That's this old brain. And the next thing is this old tongue. Now, lots of things that we think about each and every day do not please Him. Now He knows everything. He knows everything about Matthew Clark, just as He knows everything about you. And he knows. He knows our very thoughts. He knows our very desires. He knows our very wants. And he knows our very want nots. And he knows that this and this go against him. But every single problem that we all have, there's a solution in here. Somewhere in here, there's a solution. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. When we think upon the Lord, when we think upon His only begotten Son that came and died and bled upon the cross for you and I, that pleases the Lord. When we think on this old junk and this old trash and what we hear on the radio and what we see on the television and rumors and just nasty stuff, that doesn't please the Lord. Not one ounce does it please Him. I heard one of my preacher brethren say, boy, a thought needs to be just like a runway. A bad thought, come in and land and go off. And think upon the Lord. If you have nothing else, if we have nothing else to think about, and you've been saved by God's grace, go right back to that time where that peace and that joy flooded our soul. And that's pleasing unto Him. Talking unto Him. There's many times when I pray and it doesn't ever get above the top of my head. But there's times where I know that I've gotten in tune with Him and that He hears little old me. He hears me upon His throne with all that's going on in the world, and He hears little old me and He talks back. Boy, isn't that wonderful that God on high talks back unto His children, and that pleases Him. It pleases Him to talk to us. And it pleases Him to answer prayers. Boy, it does. It pleases Him. It pleases Him when us as God's children are just exactly in the center of His will. Oh, it pleases Him. And when we please Him, boy, you can look. You can look that that day is going to be a wonderful day. And the next day, and the next day, until our faith starts wearing away just a little bit. And then we have to go back unto Him. And it pleased Him. It pleased Him to send His only begotten Son. It pleased God on high that at the foundation of this world, that His only Son by the name of Jesus Christ would come to be the perfect sacrifice for you and I. It pleased Him. And the pain and the suffering that Jesus took upon mine and your behalf, you and I put the stripes upon His back. Those hunks of flesh, that were taken by his back, out of his back, you and I took them out of there. The crown of thorns that was upon his head, you and I placed that crown of thorn upon his head. Those nails that went through his hands and through his feet, you and I drove them there. We drove those nails through his feet. And mine and your sins were hung upon the cross. They were hung upon the cross. And it pleased him to die for you and I. It pleased him. So we need to be about pleasing the Father. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I don't know any heart in the house. Only one I know is my very own. But if you're here and you're lost, there is no way that you can please God. You can't. If your mom gets sick or your dad gets sick, he's not going to hear that prayer. The only prayer that he can hear from a sinner is that one of repentance. It's only one that he can hear. But for us as God's children, we're a sweet savor unto him. But if you're here and you're lost, I would ask you and I would beg you, this is the very most important thing in this life, is to know God. Because there's coming a day when you're going to have to meet him face to face. And those that are not saved are cast into hell for eternity. So, brother, while we stand and have a song, if you're here and you're lost and God's dealing with you, I'd beg you that you would come this way. And us as God's children, let's just continue to try, to strive, to please him. Please him.